This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. That sound of a protest crowd last evening in Durham, North Carolina, pulling down a Confederate monument outside the old Durham County Courthouse. That sound was courtesy of WNCN-TV. Meanwhile, the white supremacist rally that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, has been condemned by politicians and public figures, but many of the participants didn't see it as a defeat.
You think we're going to back down? You think we're going to cower or walk away? Oh, I guess you guys won. No, you didn't win. You looked like absolute fools to the entire world. You looked like stupid little provincial tyrants who don't understand the law. That's what you looked like. You think you won? You looked like complete fools.
That is white nationalist leader Richard Spencer in a video message posted on Saturday after the violent clashes in Charlottesville. Spencer said in a news conference in his home yesterday that President Trump's condemnation of racist groups and Nazi sympathizers was a political move, and it wasn't really condemnation of him or his followers or allied groups at all. Now, Spencer is just one movement leader among many. The alt-right, neo-Nazis, neo-Confederates, these were just some of the groups present at Saturday's Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been documenting hate groups across the U.S. for decades. From 2015 to 2016, they recorded a rise in the number of those groups operating in the U.S., and the count is now at more than 900 groups in all. Heidi Byrick leads the Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence project, which tracks far-right groups in the U.S., and she joins me now to break down the state of white supremacy in America. Heidi, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Heidi, you heard that sound at the top of the crowd in North Carolina pulling down the Confederate statue. And before we begin, I'm interested in your view. Legitimate protest or destruction of property?
Well, I think in this case, we'll have to go with destruction of property. I mean, it's obviously not appropriate for a few people to decide what should happen in Durham. That said, you know, I do understand the rage out there at what happened in Charlottesville, and it's going to engender some of these kinds of reactions. Of course, seeing Nazis marching on the streets of the United States is an extraordinary thing, and, you know, they were marching in defense of a Robert E. Lee statue there in Charlottesville, and it's got a lot of people very upset.
And I think it's fair to say that we may see more episodes like this in the near future. It doesn't seem like the last. And this all happens in the context, Heidi, where your group at the Southern Poverty Law Center has been documenting this rise in hate groups on the right. I mentioned the numbers from 2016 and 2015, and you found roughly 25 new groups springing up during that year. How do you explain that rise and a rise over the last few years?
Yeah, well, the rise from 2015 to 2016 was, frankly, directly related to the Trump campaign, meaning the organizations that just popped out of nowhere or grew, groups like Daily Stormer, which went from one chapter to 30 real-world chapters, were those organizations that most attached themselves to Trump himself, calling him things like the glorious leader or to his message. So it's rare to see on the right a bunch of organizations just come out of nowhere attached to a politician. Frankly, in the past, these types of groups have felt, you know, completely sidelined by the political system. They didn't like the Republicans or the Democrats. They call the Republicans the stupid party. But Trump was basically a game changer for them in that short period of time from when he, you know, announced his candidacy.
And so that many of them now feel like if they're not in the mainstream, they at least have a path to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they feel that Trump speaks directly to him, to them, you know, with his policies like the Muslim ban or the border wall, for example, which really was an idea that originated with people like David Duke many, many decades ago. And they feel like his comments about Mexicans the first day of the campaign and other racist statements are validating them. And, you know, I can't say that they're completely wrong. Trump also tweeted out extremist materials during the campaign. I mean, he's more than dog whistled to them many, many times.
So let's then talk about some of the groups that stepped into the spotlight at this rally in Charlottesville. There were lots of different groups represented there, and I thought we might be able to break down some of them. I want to start with James Alex Fields. Now, he's he's the person who allegedly drove that car into the crowd in the street after the protest, injuring 20 people and killing one. Before that happened, he was photographed at the rally dressed in a white polo shirt, khakis, carrying a shield. He was among a group that's been called Vanguard America. Who are they and what's their mission?
So Vanguard America is one of these organizations that popped up during the time of the Trump campaign. And Vanguard America basically is an organization that, you know, views white people as being genocided. This is an idea that, you know, is widespread among these groups and that argues that the United States should be a white country. I mean, these are very standard white supremacist ideas, and many of the organizations there in Charlottesville believe the same things. In fact, that's one of the things that most of the groups, even though they have some differences, shared.
So that's one of the groups, and a lot of the other ones fall under different rubrics, and we can go through some of them. There were groups aligned there with the Ku Klux Klan, which is an old and familiar group to Americans.
Sure. I mean, look, the Klan is the oldest domestic terrorist group in the United States. It's the original, basically, which arose in its first form right after the Civil War and was led by Confederate generals. Klansmen, again, are people who are going to agree with this message of the idea that the U.S. should be run by whites, and that's partly what drew them there. Although, you know, in look and design, they seem very different from, you know, Vanguard America with its khakis and its polos. On the other hand, the torch ceremony that was held on the campus there in Charlottesville on Friday night, it looked like it was out of the standard playbook of the post-Civil War era in the 1920s Klan.
There were also apparently neo-Nazis on hand. There were swastikas photographed at that rally. Is there a way to know how many of the people there would qualify themselves as Nazi sympathizers?
Well, we know that the National Socialist Movement and its leader, Jeff Scope, were there. I've seen pictures of him marching. The swastika armbands, of course, are an obvious tell that you have Nazis on the ground. I'm not sure exactly how many of them were there, but a lot of the people that were featuring those kinds of insignias were related to that National Socialist Movement. And that's a group that's existed in the United States for decades, literally.
So we apply then the term alt-right, Heidi, often sort of as an umbrella term for maybe everybody who was there. And that may or may not be accurate or may or may not be precise. Is it important to delineate the term alt-right from white nationalist as we're talking about these groups and we use language to describe them?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a certain amount of trickiness. Now, that said, alt-right is a term that was come up with by people like Richard Spencer, whose clip you played earlier. Basically, people who believe in white supremacy and wanted to rebrand themselves in a way that sounded less threatening. In other words, they dropped the term white, right? And they, by saying alt-right, it almost sounds like they're part of the right wing, which most people on the right wing would vehemently disagree with. That said, there are some people involved in the alt-right who are a little different than traditional white supremacists. For example, misogynistic people can come out of the world of men's rights. That's what it's called. It's a group of people who believe that males are being destroyed by feminism and things like that. But for the most part, alt-right can basically be equated with white supremacy.
For the most part, and that's where that term gets defined most effectively. What kind of numbers are we talking about? I mentioned the number 917. I think that's the bottom line of SPLC's current count of hate groups. What kind of numbers are we talking about the number of people who are involved, affiliated, or active in these groups across the country?
Yeah, that is a really hard question to answer, partly because they're obviously not going to show us their membership list. But we do have some indicators that can speak to the size of this movement. For example, Stormfront.org, which is a massive white supremacist forum, it was the first hate site on the web, has more than 300,000 registered users. In fact, their numbers doubled under Obama, which shows the impact of having a black president on this movement. It energized them. Trump has done more of that. The Daily Stormer, which is basically a neo-Nazi website that had people on the ground there, has about 400,000 unique page views a month. So if you calculate that over a year, that's a lot of people. And then we know that some of the organizations can have, you know, 200 to 300 members. When you tally all this up, and of course this is just a rough guesstimate, you know, it's somewhere between probably 1 and 2 million people that identify with the full range of the ideas that we saw in Charlottesville.
And 1 to 2 million is far greater than the numbers, you know, in the several thousands that we often hear associated with some of these groups.
Yeah, I think people don't realize the reach of these organizations. And I should say the web has made this a much different environment. You know, in the 1990s, to sign on with some of these organizations, even to find out who they were, you know, you had to get a fax, you had to get on a mailing list, someone had to tell you about them. It was very, very hard. But nowadays, you can, you know, log on to the web and in 2 seconds be in places where there are hundreds of thousands of people who agree with you, whether it's about that the Jews are evil or blacks are evil, whatever the racist ideas or extremist ideas are. And that has allowed the propaganda to spread and has brought a lot of people into this movement. I'll just mention one person that we all know about, Dylan Roof, who committed that massacre in Charleston. He was never involved actually in any hate group. He simply went on websites like Stormfront and Daily Stormer and learned there why he should hate black people and then committed that horrible act of violence.
So, Heidi Byrick, we've talked about some of the groups, some of the numbers, some of the IDs. I want to leave it with some of the messaging and some of the attitudes before we go. And the message that some of these groups will receive from what's come from the White House over the last couple of days. At first, of course, there was this avoidance of naming these groups specifically from the president. That finally came to an end yesterday when he stepped out in the White House and named some of them, at least broadly. But even then, there were reactions from some of these groups online saying it wasn't really a repudiation of them at all, that the president only did it. I saw in one posting, you know, the president only did it because he was forced at the point of a Jewish weapon to say what he said. What are they going to take from this?
Well, I think that that is probably going to be a common sentiment among these organizations, and there's a reason for that. Look, Trump, you know, tweeted out material that these groups represent, made racist comments during the campaign. They have every reason to believe that Trump is on their side. There's more to it than that. He canceled the funding for countering violent extremist programs that are targeted at white supremacists. His deputy, Sebastian Gorka, after a mosque bombing about a week and a half ago, said that white supremacists aren't the problem. So there's a lot that goes on in the Trump White House that makes these people feel like, you know, he's on their side. And the delay in responding to Charlottesville was astounding. So that's why they think this way.
Tracking the numbers and the attitudes of the alt-right white nationalism and white supremacists across America. Heidi Byrick with the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project. Heidi, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Catherine. I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado, and just want to say how key media is to be tempted to rise to the chaos of emotions and find ourselves surprisingly hating people on the other side. The subtle power that we're giving, it's almost mass hypnotism that happens in mob situations. It becomes dangerous, and we start addressing it by addressing it in our own thoughts.
Your voice all this hour at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.